It's time to launch our new series about mental well-being, and I'm very lucky to be joined by a counsellor. Now, each week we explore a different topic and to talk about counselling from a local private practice, Talking Minds Counselling, it's Carol Salter. So thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Andy. Yes, I'm looking forward to talking through our topics over the next few weeks.
It is going to be very interesting, but I thought for this first one of the things I wanted to do is sort of break down some of the myths around counselling, what it is, and to find out some things about you. Because one of the things I wanted to ask first of all is people go to counsellors, but they don't think about the person they're talking to. So what kind of person becomes a counsellor?
That's really interesting. It's I must confess actually that I'm actually of a generation that when we were growing up, if anything was wrong, you were just told to get on with it. You just weren't allowed to talk through. There wasn't really anyone that you could go to like there is these days. So I was sort of brought up in that generation, and it was only when I experienced myself a problem and I ended up having to have counselling, and I went very, very reluctantly because I thought, oh, this is just going to be a waste of time. And then I came away and went, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So much so that eventually I then thought, I want to do this. And that's how I ended up becoming a counsellor, through going through the process myself. Whereas previously, my whole life, I'd literally grown up going or being told, you know, don't be silly, it's a waste of time. You just got to get on with life. And how wrong is that?
I mean, that is an incredible sort of mind shift, isn't it? And do you find that a lot of people who come to see you sometimes start there in that same place of skepticism or reluctance, and have been convinced to come along? I mean, or have people bought into the experience and that's why they're there?
I think the majority have bought into it and they actually want to be there. There are a few that are being made to come. And that's a different story, you know, that's a whole different thing again. But generally, people have got to a stage where they actually are going, I have got to do something. I cannot carry on like this. And it could be something that's happened to them in their childhood, and they're now in their 50s and 60s, and they've got married, they've got children, they've now perhaps got grandchildren coming along or have grandchildren, and they suddenly go, I can't live with this anymore. I've lived with it all my life and I cannot carry on living with it. And suddenly they go, that's it, I need to seek help, and I need to get rid of this.
And they've been whatever carrying it around all that time.
Yeah. I mean, some people, you know, who are coming to counselling, it could be something that's happened quite recent, you know, sadly, like a bereavement, an accident, a change in circumstances, you know, a breakdown in relationship. It could be any number of things, but there's a fair proportion where it's something that's been hanging around for years, and they just feel that, no, they've got to do something now.
And if someone is, for want of a better expression, being made to go along by someone, whoever that person is, I mean, is that a recipe for a problem, or can that be overcome? Is it a case of once they've had the first hour, they sort of go, okay, that isn't the horror I thought it was going to be?
We try to make it... we try to be as reassuring. Counsellors actually have to be obviously extremely non-judgmental. They have to have, you know, lots of empathy and great listening skills. And if you've got someone in front of you that doesn't actually want to be there, generally I would just start with, you don't need to tell me anything that's going on. Just tell me a bit about yourself. And I think it's sort of a building up a trust between the person that you're talking to, the counsellor, and going away thinking, actually, someone has just given me 100% listening for 50 minutes and no one's ever done that before in my life. And then you hope that the next session, the same thing happens again, where, you know, we can talk about whatever they want to talk about, to go out the football, if they want, you know, how well Spurs did, et cetera. or they can just talk about, you know, their family. It's you know, or they could just sit and cry for 50 minutes. It's completely up to them. And hopefully over time, they actually build up a trust where they feel that actually, yes, I can start to break down that barrier. And actually, I'm pleased to be coming along, you know, each week. So it varies. Some we lose. Some people just can't do it. And that's understandable. We always say the door's always open, you know, pick up the phone and we can pick up again anytime.
I was going to say that maybe some people sort of do it and then pause it and then come back to it later when they feel more able. I mean,
yes,
do you see that where they want it, but maybe not right now sort of thing?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And it could be sometimes it's just too painful.
I mean, this, I would assume, I mean, it requires so many skills, some of which can be taught. I suspect some of it is developed, you know, softer skills particularly. But what kind of training is needed to ensure that counsellors are, I don't know, doing the best thing that they could possibly do?
Well, the training, believe it or not, unfortunately in this country, you actually don't have to be qualified to say you're a counsellor. I know. I mean, that is changing. So if you are, generally, if you're looking for a counsellor, you need to look for someone who's registered with one of the boards, which I can give you later. I think as a person, generally, a lot of counsellors have actually gone through a lot of things in life that has prompted them to actually decide that actually this is what they want to do. And that means that they've got a lot of understanding about perhaps what that person is going through. The training is generally 3 to 4 years, depending on, you know, what style of counselling you're going for. And you have to do, a counsellor will also have to do what's called placement hours. So they have to work free of charge for an organisation, and they actually have to do sort of 100 plus hours as part of this training. So there's a lot to it, there really is. But I think at the beginning, you've got to be a real people person and a real person that cares and wants to help, because you can't teach that. That's got to come sort of from within, really. So I think you'll find that, you know, most counsellors that people see are generally, like I said, they're qualified, and like I said, they have this empathy, and they have this respect for their clients. And in fact, I'm in awe of all of them. All the clients I see, I just think they're absolutely amazing, you know, how they conduct their lives and, you know, how they manage. You know, it's fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
And can I ask, how are you supported? Because, I mean, there must be an impact, or the potential for an impact on you hearing stories, whatever's going on, whatever's having an impact on someone. How on earth are you supported in all of that?
Well, we actually, as counsellors, we actually, all of us, even qualified, we have to have what's called supervision. Every number of hours we see clients, we have to have a sort of at least an hour and a half every month of supervision. And the supervisors have to have supervision, and their supervisors have to. So it's a safeguard to make sure that, A, we are okay as counsellors, in the sense that we're not being affected by what we hear, and most importantly, that we are actually supporting the clients in the correct way that we should be on the circumstances that they're presenting to us. So the supervisor is our space to actually say, this has distressed me, this has concerned me, and it's another pair of eyes and ears to actually go through what I'm experiencing or what we are experiencing, for someone to actually go, actually, no, that's right, or actually, have you thought about this? So it's very good to have that, but everybody has to have it. You know, you can't be a counsellor and not have supervision.
When people are coming to see you, what are the kind of trends that you're picking up that people are coming to see you about at the moment?
It is varied. I'll talk about other counsellors, because if any of my clients are listening in, yes. I don't want them to think yes. But
absolutely.
So I'm just going to go by colleagues. They get presented with loss is usually, and it's not just bereavement. It's loss of a partner through divorce. It could be anxiety because of, loss of a job. It could be any type of loss. The other things are depression. Domestic abuse is a big one, where people are coming where they're suffering from domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. Sexual abuse and rape, that's another area where people have got to, generally have got to talk to someone independent. They can't talk to their families about that or what's happened. Mm. Or addiction, drink, drugs.
Mm.
I think just about everything and anything can come through the counsellor's door. And it all boils down to the same thing, actually. It's someone needs help with a particular event that's going on in their lives or has gone on in their lives.
And I know over the next few weeks we're going to be talking about several of these issues in more depth.
Yes,
but
yes,
none of what
right.
we do is going to be a replacement for actual counselling. So if any of this already has just touched a nerve with someone and they think, I want to go and speak to someone, I mean, I wouldn't know where to find a counsellor. I wouldn't know where to start. So are there some quick and easy tips that people can do if they think, actually, maybe I do want some help? Where should they start?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I would say GP, because GP can then refer to the National Health Service, who can offer free sessions, but generally you only get six. So mm-hmm. you'll be offered six sessions, but they're free. Generally, now they're on the phone, they're not face-to-face. But if it's sort of something like something that's just happened, like perhaps a loss of a job or you've lost someone, then the GP, NHS. There's lots of charities out there. We've got obviously Mind, Future Living, HeartSAC. There's so many, especially in the Hertfordshire area. Again, they can offer support, free counselling or very low price counselling. So again, it's just Googling the charity and whatever the problem you are bringing to the charity. So it, like I said, it could be a bereavement, it could be sexual abuse, it could be domestic abuse. Private counselling, that's where sort of I sort of slot in, although I do volunteer at HeartSAC, which is the Hearts Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre. So that's one of the charities I'm with. But as a counsellor, you can go through Counselling Directory. There's also the BACP, which is the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. They have an amazing website, as do the NCS, the National Counselling Society. If you go onto those two, they actually tell you all about counselling, and they will actually give you a directory of accredited counsellors that can actually help. And they'll give you a little bio on each counsellor, where they're based, what they're charging, so that you can sort of make a judgment as to whether or not you think that person's a good fit for you. So those are the areas I would go: GP, charities, private counselling, and then obviously to find a counsellor to go through the directories.
Well, I mean, that's really helpful already, really, really helpful advice. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about some issues which appear to be important in a little bit more detail. But for this week, Carol, thanks very much. And I will look forward to talking to you next time.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks.